Welcome to It's All Recruiting, the show that looks at everything through the lens of recruiting. I'm your host, Jim Stroud.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Jim Stroud here discussing, well, what else recruiting, because it's all recruiting. I was chatting with a pal of mine just the other day about something I thought was very interesting, something I think you need to know. We were talking about ATS systems and how people will apply for a job and think that they have applied for the job, actually they have, but they do not finish the process of completing the job application, which, of course, gives companies migraines. To talk further about that and to continue our conversation that we had offline and now we're online talking about it, I'll have my friend introduce himself. Sir, my friend, please introduce yourself to this lovely audience.
Sure. I'm Stephen Rothberg. I'm the president and founder of Niche Job Board College Recruiter.
Woohoo! Great job board, by the way. So as we were talking just prior to this podcast, we were saying, actually you were saying how companies think that an apply equals a candidate in the database, which isn't always the case, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
So did you have some stats around that? I think we were talking about that at one point.
Yeah, so you know what we've seen in the job board industry, whether it's a small niche board, a large general board, is that typically an employer is going to post one or more jobs to typically multiple job boards. And remarkably, the statistics for how many candidates view the job on the job board, click the apply button on the job board to go over to the employer's website, to the ATS, to apply, and then to complete that application, it's remarkably consistent across the board. It doesn't seem to vary that much based upon the size of the job board or the type of the job board, if it targets a specific niche or not. The biggest variation is on the device that the candidate is using, mobile or desktop laptop, and the actual ATS or applicant tracking system used by the employer. But we're seeing a 90 to 95% drop-off rate. So for the candidates that click the apply button on the job board page to go over to the employer's website to apply, only about 1 in 10 on desktops and laptops actually apply, complete the application. And
wow.
If they're on a mobile, smartphone, or tablet, it's only about 5%, which is 1 in 20, actually complete the application process.
Wow. I'm sure that's very eye-opening to a lot of people listening to this. Why do you think that is? You think that the entire process, the application process, is just bad, or that candidates are just impatient? I mean, what do you think contributes to that?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a little bit of both going on, but I actually kind of think it's more of a efficiency gone wild approach. We in the human resource industry for the last 30 or so years have done a remarkably good job of choking out every last nickel and dime from the hiring process. And efficiency is a great thing. I'm very efficient. I take great pride in it to the everlasting annoyance of my family. But efficiency at the cost of effectiveness is not a good thing, right? Reducing your cost per hire to zero and ending up with zero hires is not something that's going to help your organization. And I think that's what's happened with in the world of the ATS or the applicant tracking systems. We're putting candidates through so many flaming hoops and asking them so many, quite frankly, bizarre questions that that many of them just drop out. There's, without naming them, one of the major ATS that a number of our employer clients use, Fortune 1000 employer clients use, when the candidate clicks through to the page that they think is going to be an application page, give us your name, address, email address, paste your resume, hit submit. Instead, they get basically a blank page, no company logo or anything like that, and it says like something like new registration, and it's got a field for username and a field for password, and then there's a link that says click here if you have not yet registered. Well, job seekers don't think that they're registering. Job seekers think that they're applying. But that one word is just ridiculous. An employer should know better, and the ATS should know better. Also, why greet them with a blank page? Why not have the company logo on that page? Why not have the application form right there? Why do they have to jump through those hoops? I have a teenage son who yesterday was applying to a job with a retailer, and it took him 45 minutes to go through an application to be a bagger or a cashier.
Wow.
And he was asked behavioral questions like, you know, do you, when you are too busy at work, do you find that that creates a problem with productivity? It's like, how do you answer that question? and he's like, as the application process went on and on and on, he became less and less interested in working for this company. And I just kept reassuring him that the HR people are at the head office and he will never meet them. Whoever designed that questionnaire is not somebody he's going to have any contact with. The store managers are the ones who have to deal with the bad outcomes. They're getting only the most desperate of candidates going through that ridiculous process.
Wow. It all speaks to another buzzword that's going around the recruiting industry a lot these days is the candidate experience. You know, making it as easy as possible to engage with the applicant or the candidate, and giving them warm and fuzzy feelings about your company. A couple of things pop up in my head as you were saying that. One is about Zappos and how they've done away with their job postings altogether in favor of a, for lack of a better term, a talent community, where people just sort of join a community, get to know people who work there, get the warm and fuzzies, and then they're soft-sold job opportunities on down the road. Do you think that's the best way to go about getting around that that drop of 9 out of 10 candidates dropping off of the application process? Is that the way to do it?
Yeah, I love what Zappos is doing. They are, I wouldn't say unique, but they are unusual in that they are a business – a very successful business that's growing rapidly, has been growing rapidly for a long time, will continue to grow rapidly. And I think most importantly, people feel real passion around their brand. We could all be so lucky or fortunate, because I actually don't think it's luck that's put them into this position. I think they've made their luck. It's good fortune. They've created the situation that they're in. But if you've got a typical organization, for the other 99.9% of us out there that people don't actually feel passion around our brands, then it's going to be pretty difficult to again, create a hoop where people have to engage and communicate and participate in a community. A lot of people don't want to participate in a community. They're introverted. If you're somebody with, let's say, Asperger's, you may not feel comfortable participating in a community. And I kind of question what that environment does for Zappos when it's trying to hire people who are not as social as you or I might be. The other thing is, I think it's actually a misnomer about Zappos eliminating job postings. Zappos still has job postings. They still have an applicant tracking system. Once you've gone through the whole community and you've been engaged and you're talking with a recruiter and you understand the company, the culture, the position, you still have to apply. You still have to go through their applicant tracking system. There are still job posting ads. I've also read that what they really meant is that they're no longer posting jobs to job boards. That's not true either. I've seen job postings from them on job boards. They may not call them job postings. They may call them profiles or something else along those lines, or they may say, well, these aren't job boards. They're social media sites. But they're social media sites that generate the bulk of their revenue by employers advertising their job openings. If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it is a duck. So I think what they've done is that they've shifted the emphasis, but they haven't completely done away with job postings.
Now, when you,
Nevertheless, I do applaud them. They've mm-hmm. created, they've invested a significant amount of time and energy into improving the candidate experience and mm-hmm. actually allowing those candidates, humans, to interact with their recruiting team, their hiring managers, even to an extent, other candidates. And I think that that is going to be incredibly valued to them. I think they're going to get a disproportionately large share of the highly talented people in Las Vegas and elsewhere, Vegas where they are and elsewhere. It's not perfect, but nothing is. They've made huge strides, and I think they're a real leader in the industry.
Yeah, when I first heard about this step, I thought it was a brilliant move in terms of nothing, if nothing else, generating buzz. And it made me remember from my Google days how, well, Google still does this, how they recruit through PR, how they will get so much buzz about the company and what they're doing that just sort of attracts people to the company like no tomorrow. You know, they hear like Google hired the chef who used to be the chef of the Grateful Dead band, you know, so you come work at Google, you'll meet the chef of the Grateful Dead and, you know, free food every day and concerts in the park and all that kind of stuff. When you hear about all these wonderful, magical, mystical things going on campus, I mean, although it does wonders for their brand, I always look at that and say, man, they are really recruiting a lot of people, which, and I know from firsthand it works because their ATS is over flooding with resumes like every day, every hour, you know. And it's because not just because of the jobs they posted. That may have something to do with it, sure, but it's also all the buzz they're getting in the marketplace, in newspapers, and in the press that really attracts people. So when I heard how Zappos was doing this, I thought, man, look at all that buzz they're getting around this. And sure enough, it attracted a lot of people. Now, going back to what you said about when you still see job postings for them, I'm just curious, was this recently? Because I'm wondering, are those recent postings or are they legacy postings from back in the day that are still floating around? Just curious.
No, it was in the fall 2014. So after the announcement, after the buzz, there were a lot of bloggers and a lot of media articles about how Zappos has eliminated their job postings, and some of the key people there were very quick to point out, but it didn't create as much news that because of compliance issues and. Mm. They actually haven't technically eliminated job postings. What they've done is that they've rather than forcing candidates to kind of first go through an ATS and search for jobs, apply to jobs, and then have contact with a recruiter or a hiring manager, they reversed that process. And that's admirable. That's an incredible investment. It's courageous, and it's incredible investment in time and money on their end. I think what happened is that there were some initial media stories written by people who didn't really understand the hiring process, and they mm-hmm. misunderstood exactly what it was, and then everybody else kind of piled on without actually going to the Zappos website to see what's happening. But there were a few people, that insiders at Zappos, who basically said, you know, hey, I'm putting words in their mouth, but if we could get rid of the ATS, we would. I don't actually think they said something like that, but that was what I drew. But the reality is that just like every other employer of any size in the country, they're subject to non-discrimination laws. And
sure.
if they can't properly track who applied and what race they are, gender, age, et cetera, they would open themselves up to incredible liability. And so for legal reasons, you know, if nothing else, they really have to have an ATS of some type. It can be what some organizations call a CRM, you know, a client or customer relationship manager. At the end of the day, that's a duck that walks a little bit differently.
Sure.
That implies that it's more friendly than your stereotypical ATS. But at the end of the day, it does the same thing. It allows people to apply to jobs and to be able to track them through the hiring process, assign them different hiring managers, recruiters, kick out a you're hired, kick out a you're not hired email, run reports for EEOC reasons, et cetera.
Yeah, here at Brandstaff SourceRight, we have various centers of expertise, and one of our subject matter experts, a woman named Audra Jenkins, she's over compliance, so she knows like everything I could possibly know and will probably forget about compliance and EEOC issues and things like that. And as you were saying that, I could hear her in the back of my mind going, yep, preach on, brother. All that.
Yeah, everything you may have known and wanted to forget.
Yeah.
Is actually I am so thankful that there are people in this world that are like that mm-hmm. do that work well and hopefully enjoy it, because I would do that horribly, and I would hate it even more.
You know, there a couple of other things come to mind too. Before I let you go, I just think it sort of popped in my head here. One, when it comes to applicants signing on to a company website to continue the job application process, maybe think about some of the things that we're doing here at Rensselaer Source. Right, we have this tool that we use. Smashfly, and it actually helps us build talent communities so that when someone depends on the situation, how we have it set up, but when someone wants to apply for a job, they will come through a talent community of sorts. We would collect their contact information. So if they happen to drop off later on in the process, we can still reach out to them later, which is just kind of cool, which is, you know, one way a company may want to fight that 9 out of 10 drop-off rate. But the other thing I'm thinking of, too, and I'm just sort of thinking pie in the sky, is that another way I think that would keep candidates all the way through the system is if somehow, some way, and I'm writing an article about this for someone, so it'll come out soon. I'll let you know when. But I'm thinking about personalization of a career site. You know, if you go to Amazon, if you buy a book, and then you come back, you know, 10 seconds later, if that long, you know, they can recommend to you a bunch of books and other things you might like because of it. How come in this day and age, with all this technology we have, I can't go to a company career site and the site automatically generates a personalized view of the kind of job I want and the kind of content I want to see? So let's say I'm a software developer, and when I go to the career site, it automatically knows that I'm a software developer based on what's in my browser cookies or something. And it sends, instead of having me search for software developer jobs, they automatically appear. And then maybe I see pictures and blog posts and content about the company that would be of interest to me as a software developer. How come we don't have that already? Have you seen a job board that does anything remotely like that?
Yeah, actually, I have, and I have a couple of thoughts around that. So one thing is Smashfly, excellent. We have an integration with them, and they do great things. So, you know, any listener that doesn't know about them needs to know about them. They also provide really great analytics, so the employer can really see where are their candidates coming from and get a lot of information about not just clicks, not just applications, but also quality of those. Because it's one thing to have a source that's sending you a ton of clicks or a ton of applications, but if they're low quality and you aren't hiring them, that's actually doing a disservice to you. It's raising your costs without helping you hire people. So Smashfly is a really great tool for employers, and I'm not on their payroll or anything. I'm just a happy partner. Another company that is, Jim, doing somewhat along the lines of what you're saying, it's like, okay, Jim, I see who you are. And based upon who you are, these are the jobs that I think that you should be applying to. And why? Is a company called ClearFit. My friend Chris Billets heads up their business development, and he's walked me through their system. I've taken a demo of it, and it kind of does like a mini interview to assess your interests, your competencies, your values, and then points you in the right direction within that company. Now, if you've got a very small company, you've got one job opening, I don't know how much value there is there. You're interested or you're not interested. But the vast majority of companies that have even one job opening have multiple, and sometimes hundreds, thousands, or even tens of thousands. And it's bewildering, overwhelming for a typical candidate to navigate themselves through that. And what we find, too, is with the typical ATS, it's either difficult or the recruiters just aren't inclined to take somebody who's applied for one position and to look at them and to say, you know what, this is a great person. but they applied for the wrong position, right? You applied for a sales position, but you're much better suited for a customer service position, or the other way around. Not mm-hmm. enough ATS, not enough recruiters will essentially shift that person over into another role. Instead, they just reject them, or they go into the internet black hole of never hearing back. What you're talking about, where an ATS or some kind of a system would automatically know who you are, that technology exists. So, you know, if you think about the last time you went to, you know, the Delta website, American Airlines, whatever, to book a flight, and then you hop over to Facebook, lo and behold, all of a sudden, you start seeing ads for hotels in the city that you're going to. That's called retargeting. And so the airlines are selling information about you, that Jim Stroud is looking to fly to Las Vegas in 2 weeks. I hope you are. And therefore, when you go over to Facebook or CNN.com or whatever, you're going to see ads for Hilton hotels in Las Vegas. That's retargeting. So absolutely, the ATS could use that kind of data to say Jim spends a very substantial amount of his time on chemical engineering websites. Well, guess what? Jim's probably a chemical engineer. And now when you come out to our engineering or our company website, you're going to the Lockheed Martin website, whatever, then they should be showing you jobs, or at least recommending putting at the front those chemical engineering jobs. Allow you to change your search. Maybe you're sharing a device with your wife or something like that. But those should be the ones that come up first. That would be very candidate friendly. And the technology absolutely exists. I think the reason we're not doing that stuff as an industry, because the vast majority of people in our industry have little to no marketing training. They went through HR programs, and overwhelmingly their work is around issues like compliance. And that's not a marketing function. That's more of an accounting function. As more and more organizations bring in brand experts, marketing experts into the HR world, then I think we're going to see more more organizations using tools like retargeting.
I really hope so. And I like what you said about ClearFit. Is that the name of the company again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ClearFit. As you were saying that, it reminded me of something I was reading on just the other day about what LinkedIn is doing, and they're getting into the ad game as well. And so I was thinking, with the technology that the company you mentioned was doing along, if they could add into the mix LinkedIn data as well, OMG,
mm-hmm.
that would be awesome. And it also has me thinking of different ways LinkedIn could probably leverage that data. They're smart people, so they probably already thought about this. But as I was looking at their site of the day, because I'm on LinkedIn a lot, I was looking at their site and I said,
really?
I said, wouldn't it be kind of cool, right? From a
occasionally not on their site.
Yeah, that's probably better. That and Twitter. Live on both of those. But I was thinking, okay, what if I, if from a job seeker perspective, was looking at a job on LinkedIn for, data analyst, right? And so I look at a data analyst mm-hmm. job. It looks interesting to me. Then I'm reading through it, and I'm there on the page for 90 seconds, looking over really, really intently. And then I go to another data analyst job, look at that really intently for a while. Then let's say something in the background of LinkedIn's website says, hey, Jim has been looking at these data analyst jobs for 3 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever, and he's focusing on these type of companies. This particular company he's looking at, they're a partner with LinkedIn in some way. So why don't we send their recruiter a automated email, say, hey, this Jim has been looking at your data analyst jobs for at least 5 minutes. We think this means he's very interested in a data analyst job. Look at his profile. And he's a data scientist, and he's a member of so many groups, and he's worked for these companies who are a competitor of yours. Why don't you send him an email that says, hey, Jim, your profile looks interesting. So Jim could say, oh, wow, what a coincidence. I was just looking at your company jobs. I mean, I would think something like that would be easy to implement in a sense. You know, LinkedIn sees mm-hmm. me looking at a certain mm-hmm. job. They scan my profile. They see that I'm interested. And maybe do this from a standpoint of, let's say, I as a job seeker, I mark my profile as active or passive. So if I mark my profile as an active job seeker, then that kind of action where I'm looking at a job for a certain period of time, then the recruiter automatically gets an email that says he's looking at your job right now. Go ahead and approach him. And me as a job seeker, I won't mind that recruiter approaching me because I have my profile marked as active job seeker. But if I have it as passive mm-hmm. job seeker or not looking, then they can give the illusion that, oh, I just happened to come across your profile at that convenient timing. It seems like that would be easy to do. I'm not a tech guy or anything like that, but it seems like something that LinkedIn could put together. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think from the technology standpoint, absolutely they can. And there are tools out there that we use some of them to help us identify who's on our website, who's looking at certain pages, et cetera. So if we send an email to you, you know, hey, Jim, you should buy job postings from us or whatever, and you come over to our website and you start looking at a bunch of pages, then we can see that. And that helps us understand who's on our site, what they're interested in, so that when we are talking with you the next time, we can zero in on the things that are of interest to you and not waste your time talking about things that aren't. So LinkedIn could do the same thing. The problem with it is that it's big brotherish. And so the users of that information have to be very careful not to freak out their customers or the candidates that they might be talking with and say, hey, Jim, following up on the email that I sent you a week ago or 3 days ago, can I answer any questions? And then you say, oh, well, you know, by coincidence, yesterday afternoon, I was on your website and I was looking at this, right? That does not come across as big brotherish. But if the conversation is, hey, Jim, I'm following up on the email that I sent you 3 days ago. I see that at 2:47 p.m. yesterday, Eastern time, you clicked through to our site and you went to the following 7 pages and you spent 57 seconds on this one and 32 seconds on that one and 16 seconds on that one. And this is exactly the path that you took through our site. And when you left our site, this is what you did. This is where you went. You'd be freaked. I mean, you personally would understand that that's technology and that we can have that data and that we're not going to use that for evil purposes. You know, our world domination plans are not quite fleshed out, but it would still, to a lot of people, come across as being big brotherish, and mm-hmm. they would get scared and run. So I would be nervous if I was LinkedIn. I would say to myself that a very small percentage of our clients, our customers, the recruiters, which are what 80% of their revenue, if you kind of look at it correctly. That they would probably, a small percentage of those people would probably be smart enough not to come across as big brotherish, but most of them, I suspect, would be kind of clumsy about it or not really understand from the candidate standpoint how freaky that would be if LinkedIn was telling the recruiters what jobs you went to. I think if a candidate sees a job on LinkedIn or any other job board and clicks on the apply button, or there's a thumbs up button I've seen on some sites, you know, where they take some action other than just looking at the job mm-hmm. and then LinkedIn or another job board were to share that information with the employer client, that's different because the candidate has taken some affirmative action to express interest. But I think the reality is when you're looking for a job, most of the job postings you read are not of interest. And that's another subject for another day, why they're not of interest. But I don't think that you want, if you look at 10 jobs, I don't think that you want to have 10 recruiters calling you because you probably self-opted out. You've read the postings, looked at the companies and said, I'm not interested in these. And that's why I didn't hit the apply button. But if you do hit the apply button, I think it would actually be good for the candidate, especially with the 90 to 95% drop off once they get to the ATS. To have somebody from that organization follow up with them, even if it's just an automated email. You know, hey, thanks for coming to our website from the job that we advertised on LinkedIn. We didn't get a completed application from you. Can we help you? You know, here's a phone number, you know, whatever, and be friendly like that. I think that organizations would be amazed at how many candidates run into technical problems or just get set up, like my teenage kid almost did yesterday. If I hadn't been there to encourage him along, knowing mm-hmm. that this is a really good company to work for, and that I'm almost certain he would have just said, forget this. These guys aren't worth it. I can go across this. I can apply to a company across the street and not have to put up with this nonsense. And I think, unfortunately, that's the box that we've created for overemphasis on efficiency at the expense of effectiveness.
Yeah, I really like the idea you said about giving a job sort of a thumbs up kind of a deal, because not only does it give a signal to the company, not only does it empower the candidate, but also gives a lot of good information to the company. And I imagine the website that a job is hosted on, they could use that information of, okay, this candidate gave it a thumbs up. Now let's make sure that the other jobs we serve up to them are in line with the job that they gave a thumbs up to. So to help them personalize the experience even more so for the candidate.
Yep.
Wow.
Just like your Amazon example, right?
Yeah.
Candidates who liked this job also liked these jobs. That would be brilliant for a LinkedIn or any other job board.
I tell you, they even go a step further. If they had a line item job description, and the candidate says, you know what, I like this task, but I don't like this other task. You know what, you may I might go through the application process a bit further if you take off, you know, two of these points off of the job description, because I like everything but these 2 points. But that'll be a really big nightmare for compliance, I'd imagine, but it'd be kind of cool for the candidate. I feel like we can go on forever, but we don't have forever, so unfortunately we have to end it right here. Stephen Rothberg of CollegeRecruiter.com, thank you so much for hanging out with me on my podcast.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Tweet me your thoughts or leave a comment. Either way, I want to know what you think. Be sure to stay in touch with me. I have a few things on the horizons that I would like for you to know about. My blog is jimstroud.com. Please subscribe. My Twitter is @JimStroud. Please follow. And of course, I'm on LinkedIn and Google+. I'm everywhere. Until next time, bye.